This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Adam Driver is kind of like a Marlon Brando for millennials. Highly masculine, but angsty, with a vulnerable side. And like Brando, he is stealing scenes like crazy, most often in the TV show Girls.
Do you want to watch Bagger Vance?
I can't. Okay, I'm working the door.
But do you want to watch Bagger Vance extras?
No, like Elijah's being a fascist dictator. I really gotta go. I'll see you later.
What, do you want to make balloon faces?
No, like Elijah's being crazy. I have to go back to the party.
Driver also steals the most entertaining scene in the new Coen Brothers movie, Inside Llewyn Davis.
1 second, please. Please, Mr. Kennedy.
The film's about a Greenwich Village folk singer in the early 1960s. And that scene involves Driver, Justin Timberlake, and the movie's main character. They're recording a fictional novelty song called Please, Mr. Kennedy. Driver is the goofy baritone, riffing on the lyric.
There you are, becoming a musical star. That must have been fun.
Yeah, fun is a word to describe. It was very fun and pretty surreal. Justin Timberlake, Oscar, T-Bone Burnett, all the people that were kind of a revolving cast in and out when we were doing the pre-records for it, and then on the day, just people who were there. I had no idea what I was doing there.
But the odor space and all the little noises, did you work those out with T-Bone Burnett, or was that just you doing it?
That was all them.
That was written?
Yeah. They kind of happened organically. I can't remember specifically where it came from. I just remember showing up for the pre-records and them kind of figuring it out. And the only good sense I had was to not get involved and kind of just listen and pay attention as much as possible. And I think that doing that once was the most petrifying thing I think I've ever done.
Really?
I feel like all the actors were kind of losing their minds with nerves, and all the musicians were kind of just cool as cucumbers.
Working for the Coen brothers, was that intimidating?
Their body of work and the way they work is very intimidating, but them as people is kind of how you kind of hope for them to be, like very approachable and smart and... I feel like I've got the good fortune of working with a lot of people who just work different ways, and for them they are very, you know, specific down to the letter of, you know, it's they are, not their kind of world, which is great. You know,
they like know what they want. They know how it should sound and look and all that.
Yeah, but there's still immense freedom in that, I think. They still come – they've done all their work, but they still come on the day and are very open to being wrong, which I think is unique and rare and – says something about who they are as people.
That's interesting, since I always think of movie directors as being the ultimate commanders in chief.
Yeah. No, I mean that's like a big thing that I took away from that. You know, no matter where you are at your career, the things that you've accomplished, never knowing is kind of an interesting place to start, and they definitely embody that.
You graduated from Juilliard only 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since then, you have become a co-star of the hottest new show on television and worked with the Coens and Steven Spielberg and Clint Eastwood and Tony Kushner. Does the success you've had feel astounding?
Yeah, I don't know how to process it or have had time to think about a good way to articulate it to myself of what is the things I've got to do.
Does it feel all good, or does it like worry you or discombobulate you?
I mean, like working with Tony Kushner and Steven Spielberg and Coen, that's good.
I mean, yeah, I'd say so.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's definitely spoiled me for things moving forward. It's just the people that I got to work with. I'm like, this is the way that it should be. You know, like I'll just work with these really good directors from now on. But I don't know how realistic that is.
You play the main male character on Girls, who is also named Adam. I want to play a clip from early on in the show, which I understand you may not have ever heard since you don't watch the show.
Yeah, I don't.
In which you're being accused of giving Hannah, played by Lena Dunham, an STD.
Actually, I'm pretty sure you gave it to me. You're the only person I've been having sex with. It is not prevented by condoms.
Hold your roll. I didn't give it to you.
Well, how do you know?
Because I got tested and I don't have that.
You got tested? When did you get tested?
Last week.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. So now you owe me an apology.
Okay, I'm sorry. Are you angry with me now?
Just annoyed, yeah.
Will you still have sex with me?
When it's appropriate, sure.
You have this extremely physical presence on the show, and often you are only partially dressed as well. What was the shirtlessness, your idea or Lena's?
No, Lena's.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
It was mine. Yeah, I think you should be shirtless all the time.
And do you really not watch the show?
I don't, no.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, lots of reasons. I just forgot what I looked like and was reminded, and my God, that's no one should have to go through that. But mostly because I feel like if it was going to continue, if it was going to kind of go on, that you know, I came from a theater background where you don't get to look at the end result or what is actually being across. Right. You just have to do your homework and then as much as you can, and then show up on the day and be open to something being different or not knowing the answer. And I think that in things that I've watched in the past, like one, I would just obsess about them for months and drive myself crazy.
After you saw your work?
Yeah, of things that I wanted to fix and change or do over again. And I you know, obviously you can't. And same thing with the people around me. I just drive them nuts with like asking them questions. That's annoying.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be allow you to like, oh, next time I won't do that.
Oh, totally.
Better the next time.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a good idea. It just kind of seems to be what I think I have a natural tendency to try to make things perfect or better looking or change it for the sake of changing it, arbitrary changing or making it look better. And the things that I'm interested in watching in film and theater and television are always the imperfect or the ugly part of it. And I just know of myself, especially while we're shooting it, like I have no interest to see like what is coming across.
Is it true that when that role was brought to you, you said, nah, it's TV. TV's evil. I won't do it.
Yeah. Actually, my agent's over there in the booth, and she was the one that was like, you should actually.
And did she fire you? Did she threaten to fire you for turning down a role?
No. She's just she just doesn't like me in general, I think. But meeting Lena inside, like that was kind of the thing that sealed the deal for me.
On this show, I ask guests a lot about their kind of aha moments as young people, the thing they saw or experienced or read or whatever that made them pursue whatever creative field they're in. I read that the moment you realized you wanted to be an actor wasn't in a theater or watching TV, but during basic training in the Marines?
No, it wasn't basic training. It was in the fleet. Artillery was firing white phosphorus over us. I was a mortarman.
As a training exercise.
Yeah, it was a training. Yeah, and got the coordinates wrong, and they fired on us as opposed to the target. So it was really windy, and coupled with the fact that all of us were running
away from it.
Away from it.
Because if it touched you, it would burn you. And
yeah, and that was kind of my first experience with even though I'm young, I could die. And the two things that I wanted to do is I wanted to smoke and be an actor. That didn't have any relation to each other. I never really smoke cigarettes. I want to see what.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I want to see what that is like.
Yeah, I almost got killed. Let me kill myself.
Yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
And then you got injured, right? And didn't stay in the Marines?
No, yeah, I broke my sternum.
And had that not happened and had the Marines worked out, would you have ended up where you are now, do you think?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I didn't want to go. Like being a civilian again and all kind of getting my civilian privileges was like a hard thing to swallow, especially when they were kind of overseas doing their job and I wasn't. Like I was here in New York in acting school. Like that was kind of a really difficult transition. And I would say I still regret not being able to
go through the full enlistment.
Yeah. With that specific group of people. I mean, like
which is what it's all about at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Point, right?
There's no like, you kind of join for whatever reasons and, you know, we all kind of had reasons, but as soon as you kind of get in with that group of guys, you kind of forget about the outside. Where I remember very specific moments of being in a chow hall and watching, President Bush then being like, our military is in a high state of alarm. And I'm like, really? We're on red alert? You know, I'm here eating eggs right now and thinking about getting a second helping of potatoes. Like where the outside world seems something completely disconnected and we wanted to go and do our jobs with this, you know, group of guys. And the idea of not being with them through that is like there's no way to describe
it. And where did they deploy to?
They went over. They did a Westpac of Iraq and Afghanistan.
And now that you're an actor and you're in casts Is it hard for you not to feel as cast get together and feel, oh, we're part of this group? And like, you don't know what you're talking about. I was in the Marines with this unit that I felt. That was feeling close to people.
I think when I first got out, I had a really strong sense of entitlement about being in the military and like not and adjusting to civilian life and getting really aggressive with civilians about like, what are you like complaining about getting in line for a latte? Like, you know, they're but I've since I don't really think that's – I've been fortunate enough to find acting to be able to find the language to express that. So I feel like I haven't gotten – like I started to calm down a little bit.
And no longer judging civilians?
Well, there's also – right. Well, there's also a strong connection between the military, I think, and theater or acting and just that, you know
– in that band of brothers kind of way?
Yeah, but – yeah, that there's – you know, you're trying to accomplish a mission that's greater than yourself. It's not really about you. You have to know your role within a team. You know, you have to be intimate with people in a short amount of time, and the stakes are really high. The pressure is really high. Obviously, life or death circumstances don't really compare to, you know, bad crafty, but still, the sentiment of trying to accomplish something that is not about one specific person and putting your trust within other people and the discipline and the self-maintenance, it all applies.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Driver, it has been a pleasure watching you the last couple of years and a pleasure meeting you. Thanks.
Oh, likewise. Thanks for having me.
Adam Driver is in Inside Llewyn Davis, which is in theaters now, and the new season of Girls, which he will not see, starts momentarily.
They call me baby. Scoot down the road, what's my name?